Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day live, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is gearing up and powering on. All of my guests are explaining how we can ratchet up our lives and power ourselves or our businesses forward. My first guest is one of the country's leading authorities on philanthropy and social responsibility. We'll discuss how businesses should be gearing up to contribute to charities because it's good for the economy and good for business. He'll show us smart giving is good business. My second guest has a doctorate in nuclear engineering and is the author of Atomic Awakening, a new look at the history and future of nuclear power. We'll investigate the meltdown at the Fukuyama Daiichi nuclear plant in Japan following the earthquake and the tsunami to discover if nuclear power is safe. My third guest is one of the world's most influential thinkers on productivity, and he's an Ojai resident. We'll discuss gearing up for productivity and powering on our lives from his latest book, Getting Things Done. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Kurt Whedon is a leading expert in the philanthropy and corporate responsibility fields. He speaks about philanthropy trends and how business nonprofit alliances can generate social change while addressing private sector interests too. Kurt is president of Business and Nonprofit Strategies Incorporated, a consulting group providing management guidance to some of the nation's largest corporate charities. Kurt founded and served as chief executive of the Association of Corporate Contributors Professionals, ACCP, a national professional organization representing corporate contributions, community relations, and employee volunteer managers from 150 companies. Member companies are responsible for, get this, over $20 billion in corporate cash and products. Prior to striking out on his own, Kurt served as a vice president for Johnson & Johnson's corporate contribution program. Before J&J, he also headed a consulting firm that provided external communications and mergers and acquisitions assistance to several of the nation's largest companies. Kurt and his wife live in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Welcome to the show, Kurt. How are you today?
Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate having me on.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest and talking about something that is really, really in the backdrop with the economy and everything else the way it is, and that is corporate giving. So let's set the stage for the listeners if we can. Just two decades ago, corporate giving averaged 2% of the pre-tax earnings for charitable causes. However, in recent years, company donations have fallen to about 1%. The lower levels of corporate support are particularly painful at a time when so many of America's 1 million nonprofit organizations are desperate for funding. So tell us, what has changed, Kurt, and what stands in the way of companies doing what they used to do in the charitable field?
I think the dilemma is even stronger today, unfortunately, Bill, given the situation in Japan. Because a number of corporations, of course, are like so many of us as individuals, are making contributions and gifts to the Japanese crisis that's occurring now. And one would think, well, that will bolster corporate giving in the United States, and we'll see those numbers go up. But what has happened in the past, based on some other experiences with catastrophes like 9/11, Katrina, et cetera, there are occasions where companies actually take out of one pocket to put in the other, meaning that some of the Japanese assistance you're likely to see could very well come from some of the nonprofit organizations that otherwise would have received support in Ventura County. And that's something that I'm hoping doesn't occur. but it's really something we need to be very guarded about happening.
So what you're saying is a corporation has a finite pool of money that they're going to use for charitable causes once that pool of money is used up. So if they have something extraordinary come up, like Katrina, like the meltdown in Japan that's going on right now, then that really takes the money away from another organization and they don't expand the pool to account for that?
Yeah, that's something that we're strongly advocating companies do not do. But unfortunately, I've worked with actually one or two businesses where that's clearly the case. After 9/11, for instance, there was a company in New Jersey. I won't give you the names, but I'm under confidentiality with them. But $1 million gift was given to 9/11 in 2001, and then the CEO ordered the company to find $1 million in the contributions programming the following year. So hospitals, public health clinics, arts groups, et cetera, basically paid that bill. And, you know, in the case of Japan, we're seeing, which is, I think, a wonderful response, hundreds, literally right now, I was just looking at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce website, hundreds of companies have already come forward with very large commitments to the Japanese crisis. The largest one so far, Goldman Sachs, at $6.5 million, General Electric at $5 million, et cetera. As long as those gifts are additive to what these corporations have put in their budget for domestic and international giving, everything is fine. But if you're eroding your pre-budgeted programming, then obviously things get out of kilter.
All right, we're talking to Kurt Wheaton, everybody, about corporate philanthropy, corporate responsibility. Now, Kurt, just to set the stage again for the listeners, where's this pinch coming from? Are we seeing the pinch from big businesses cutting back or small businesses
back? Interesting you ask that, Bill, because historically, over the last 15 to 20 years, the companies that have cut back the most in corporate philanthropy tend to be the larger corporations, and by larger I mean mainly out of the 12,000 to 13,000 publicly traded companies. American Express, Advanta Corporation, and a couple of other trade publications did a survey not that long ago and found that medium-sized businesses and small businesses of $1 million of revenue or less tend to be far more generous than some of these larger companies, which is surprising to a lot of folks. So, yeah, it's the big companies that tend to have slipped back. And you asked at the beginning of this particular part of your program, why is that? What's occurred? And if you had to point to one reason, I think it's largely due to the fact that this current crop of senior executives and corporations struggle with what exactly the right percentage of their profits should go to charity. And it's sort of a rock and a hard place situation for them. If they feel that they give too much, a lot of the shareholders will come back to them and claim that it's a dilution of earnings. They don't give enough, a lot of not-for-profit organizations will come forward and claim that they're being parsimonious, and possibly that would reflect badly on their customer base. So it is a difficult situation for them. And in the book that we've just published earlier this week, there's a formula which allows businesses to set what we think is an appropriate level of giving for any business, regardless of industry, class, or size. So hopefully that will change things around a bit.
All right, and we're talking to Kurt Wheaton, everybody. Smart giving is good business. How corporate philanthropy can benefit your company and society. Kurt, is that a formula that's easily given over the radio, or is that something they're going to want to pick up your book to read?
It's a complicated algorithm that you can, certainly if you're interested in that kind of mathematics, you can do it. But simply put, it's very easy to apply. It basically means taking 1.2% of a company's last year's pre-tax earnings, and most of that is very easily attainable on the website if it's a larger company, just 1.2% times last year's corporate earnings pre-tax should equal what that company is giving in the way of contributions next year. So go back to the 2010 pre-tax net earnings, do the multiple, that should be what the company would be giving away in 2012. It's pretty easy to do.
All right. That seems very straightforward. Now, Kurt, just let me back off for a moment and ask the question in general. As countries go, where does the United States rank in the philanthropy rankings of the world? We, of course, like to think of ourselves as a very generous nation. Are we, in fact, in the top five in generosity when it comes to this sort of thing?
Yes, it is. If we single out corporate giving from individual giving, you know, things begin to take a little bit of a different matrix. But generally speaking, the U.S. is still, because of its basic fundamentals that really provide incentives for this kind of giving, Remember, you get tax deductions, et cetera, et cetera. We still are right up there in the lead in most categories. In the arena of corporate giving, that is for sure the case. We induce a lot of companies to give lots of different kinds of support, particularly non-cash support, product giving. The IRS tax laws allow for a company to give away a product to certain kinds of nonprofit organizations and actually get double the deduction that they would if they gave away an equivalent amount of cash.
Wow. That's an incredible loophole, if you will, in the tax law to allow to do that.
Well, not only that, you can see that if you look at the 10 largest corporate givers this past year were all predominantly heavy product giving companies. I'll give you one or two examples. Pfizer Corporation, was the largest corporate giver last year, with $2.3 billion in giving. 97% of that amount, Bill, represents product. And the second company is closer to you, Oracle, roughly a little over $2 billion, and now almost 99% of their giving is product.
So they're giving away databases. If you're poor, here's a database, and that will help you get over it. Well, I'm sorry, I'm chuckling at that.
Or an education program in a Title I school district, or et cetera. So, I mean, some of these gifts, I'm not trying to belittle them, that they're meaningful and they're important. But the new currency of corporate philanthropy increasingly has become product, and that's created some stress and strain for some nonprofits in the country today.
Good. I like that. The new currency of corporate philanthropy has become products. We're talking to Kurt Wheaton, everybody. His book, Smart Giving is Good Business. So, Kurt, break it down for us. We've got a lot of medium-sized and small-sized businesses that are out there, which you've said at the outset are generally more generous than the big behemoths that are there. But why should a company give at all? Give us a couple of compelling reasons.
If a company is doing it right, by that I mean is keeping their giving so it's relevant to its own business mission and objectives, while at the same time meeting the IRS requirements, it's actually using the corporate contributions more as a corporate social investment. It's looking for a return on that investment that's as important to the company as it is to society. I'll give you a close-at-home example for you folks. Amgen is one of your big employers in your area.
Yes, it is.
And there's a company that has been very wise in its giving structuring. It has, I'll cite out just one program. They have a deep concern about the lack of math and science skills among young people coming up the stream because they're dependent on these folks as coming in to become future employees of that corporation. It's critical, absolutely critical. So what they have decided to do, among other things, is to put aside some money to provide new ways of teaching science that can achieve better results. Certainly the public education system and even the private education system to some degree has fallen short on this area. So they provided $3 million as a charitable contribution to the National Science Teachers Association to improve overall new methods of science teaching throughout the country, particularly in your part of Southern California. It's self-serving to some degree, but on the other hand, it's extremely important to our society as a whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kurt, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm just saying that is a great societal benefit. Yes, it will come back to help Amgen down the road. No question about that when there are more math and science students that are available from which to choose. However, that's a long-term strategy because these kids have got to graduate high school, then they've got to graduate college, and then they've got to enter the workforce. So it's a multi-year plan that they're pursuing if you're even cynical enough to think that that's the reason that they're doing it.
I think cynicism in this particular case, though, is probably not on the table because they follow up the longer term. You're absolutely right about the longer term look here. But they have higher education programs that track a young person really from cradle to grave in a sense. I mean, they're really looking after these folks and clearly looking for the best and the brightest to be candidates for Amgen employment. But, you know, that benefits everybody in this country, which has fallen so far back in the science and math field internationally.
sadly true. Now, we're talking to Kurt Wheaton, everybody. His book, Smart Giving is Good Business, How Corporate Philanthropy Can Benefit Your Company and Society. Now, Kurt, one thing that you do draw 13 rules in your book that help a corporation or a small company decide how and how much that they should give. And we wouldn't be able to get into all 13 questions, but one of them that I'd like you to address in about the 30 seconds we have remaining is this. What if a company's profits are in decline? How can they still maintain a corporate giving stance?
It's a critical question that obviously we've been tested on the last few years because of the recession. But in general, there are some strategies by which a company should consider before it discontinues or stops its corporate giving program altogether. Because if it should do so, it sends out a serious sign to investors and customers. So by postponing payments on corporate contributions grants to the fourth quarter, by possibly carrying forward some of the obligations that the company would want to meet, these are all strategies that are outlined in the book. But it's also a segue to the last point that I might want to make, Bill, and that is this isn't just a book about corporate giving for corporations. It's also a series of clues and tips to not-for-profit organizations in your community and surrounding areas, which encourage people to go to corporations with a different kind of appeal, making sure that you talk to corporations in a way that makes it easier for them to say yes rather than no. Do not go in with a tin cup. Go in with an opportunity rather than an appeal. Get close to what the company is all about.
And I think that is great advice. We've been talking to Kurt Wheaton, everybody. Smart Giving is Good Business, How Corporate Philanthropy Can Benefit Your Company and Society. Kurt, there's so much good information there. If people want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about your book, maybe about your company, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
There's a good website. It's www.smartgivingisgoodbusiness.com. That should take care of it, Bill.
All right, Kurt. Thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.